Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for April 15, 2015. I'm Elizabeth Nonemaker. All over the country, workers are demonstrating in support of a $15 minimum wage called Fight for 15. Here in Los Angeles, demonstrators swarmed outside a McDonald's on Figueroa today, calling for a $15 an hour minimum wage. Here's protester Katie Guidry.
We do need 15 or up for the county of Los Angeles. My sisters, my family, whoever it is that's living in LA is struggling. We've been living paycheck to paycheck, and it's not fair.
By some estimates, 42% of workers nationwide earn less than $15 an hour. The protesters are calling on fast food chains, large corporations like Walmart, and even universities to pay their workers a living wage. Robin Wilson works at LAX.
It was a time when at airports, those were middle-class jobs. Now they're low-class jobs. Is that fair?
No!
We need to raise these wages across this country, not just the city. We need to raise them across the country.
McDonald's recently raised wages by $1 an hour, but the change only affects about 10% of employees in company-owned restaurants. Most McDonald's are privately owned franchises. The current federal minimum wage is $7.25 an hour. In Los Angeles, it's $9. Mayor Eric Garcetti wants to raise it to $13.25 an hour and then adjust according to inflation. The protest over income inequality also spread to the USC campus, with some faculty rallying for higher wages and the right to unionize. The demonstrators were part-time adjunct faculty and non-tenure-track professors. Megan Coyle has the story.
What do we want?
A union!
When do we want it?
Now!
Many of the demonstrators are non-tenure-track professors and lecturers. These faculty often have little job security, and their salary is near the federal poverty standard. Nora Wendell, a professor in the Roski School of Fine Arts, says the low wages prevent her from doing the research and attending the conferences that might eventually help her secure a full-time position.
But that basically means that I have to survive in LA on like $24,000, $23,000, $22,000 a year, which makes it very hard for me to pay for even my rent, not to mention all of the activities that I should be able to do my research.
The faculty wrote a petition urging the administration to recognize their right to unionize. The protesters marched the petition straight to the door of Provost Michael Quick. This protest was part of a nationwide call to action to fight income inequality. Megan Coyle, Annenberg Radio News.
Rewards will now be automatically offered for information leading to hit-and-run drivers. The Los Angeles City Council approved an ordinance that sets up four levels of standing rewards. They range from $1,000 for property damage to $50,000 for fatal accidents. Just last year, hit-and-run drivers resulted in 27 deaths and 144 serious injuries. Council members hope this new incentive will send a message to reckless drivers. A $25 million lawsuit was filed today against the LA County Sheriff's Department for the death of Earl Lee Johnson. Johnson was an inmate at the Twin Tower Correctional Facility when he was killed in 2014. LAPD officials originally ruled his death a suicide, but an autopsy found he had been beaten before his death. His defense attorney says Johnson's injuries came at the hands of fellow prisoners, and corrections officers did nothing to stop them. The sheriff's department has not commented on the lawsuit. LA Mayor Eric Garcetti was out today promoting his proposals laid out during his second State of the City address. Garcetti perhaps received the most applause during last night's speech after announcing Uber will now be able to drop off and pick up passengers at LAX Airport. Emily Thornburg spoke with Uber and airport taxi drivers about the announcement. She joins us live in the studio. So, Emily, how do Uber drivers feel about this?
Yeah, so they're talking earlier about us. They feel that everyone in LA is using Uber now and that we need to be more forward-thinking. The airport needs to be more forward-thinking. The city does. In bringing these companies to the airport. So they're all for it. They're ready to start working it out with the city, working out with the airport to have like a fair regulations.
And how do taxi drivers feel about it?
I spoke with the Yellow Cab general manager today, and he feels that there's an unlevel playing field. So he really wants to make sure that issues such as safety and criminal background checks, things like those are addressed, as well as allowing them more space curbside, because he said that some Uber drivers are illegally coming and still picking up people anyways from the airport, and that has caused way more congestion.
Right, and I understand you have a clip for us as well.
Yes.
Wonderful, I'll play it.
There is a totally unlevel playing field. Then, you know, the taxi cab industry, you know, I don't know, it's going to be in serious danger. If you have a line of 50 people, if the airport is not allocating us enough space, we can't get enough taxis there to service the line.
All right. Thank you, Emily.
Thank you.
The LA Unified School District decided to shelf its controversial iPad program today. But software giant Apple may not be too happy about the decision. Christian Hall has the details.
The Los Angeles Unified School District is asking Apple Inc. for a refund after the district decided to ditch its iPad program today. The district says it is extremely unsatisfied with the Pearson software, which came standard on the iPads. LAUSD's district attorney David Holmquist says that the vast majority of the district's 650,000 students are still unable to access Pearson software on their iPads. The $1.3 billion program has been surrounded by controversy, especially regarding questions on how the deal with Apple was struck. An FBI investigation in December found that school district executives had close ties with Apple and Pearson personnel and bought Pearson software that was incomplete. Pearson and Apple executives were not available for comment. Christian Hall, Annenberg Radio News.
Today is Tax Day. We used to see long lines of procrastinators at the post office on April 15th, waiting to get their paper returns postmarked by midnight so they wouldn't be late. But now the IRS says 80% of taxes are filed electronically. We sent Alexia Narcisse to the post office on Vermont Avenue to see if people have filed their taxes.
I did file taxes this year after I received my W-2 form.
I do pay my taxes on a monthly basis, and it's not too much right now because I'm still a college student, but I'm taking care of it.
I have not. I'm working part-time, so I don't think I have to. No one told me I had to, so yeah, I don't know.
We heard from Christopher Smith, Jacques Jones, and Brian Lee. And unfortunately, Brian, you do have to file taxes, even if you only work part-time. Only one post office in LA will be collecting mail until midnight, the one at 7001 South Central Avenue. There's a new plan for a zip line in Runyon Canyon, but residents say the proposal is a non-starter. Russell Simon has the story.
A pair of Los Angeles businessmen will pitch plans tonight to build a nearly 3,000-foot zip line through Runyon Canyon and into the Hollywood Hills. The zip line would feature a 500-foot drop and offer spectacular views of downtown, West Hollywood, and Santa Monica. The Hollywood Hills West Neighborhood Council will hear the pitch tonight, and the plan has encountered fierce opposition from people who live near the canyon. Don Ryan, vice president of the Friends of Runyon Canyon, says the zip line will disturb residents.
The Friends of Runyon Canyon feel would be detrimental to the nature and character of the park, which is designated as a wilderness area.
Part of the plan will also include $700,000 to fix trails, add bathrooms, and make other improvements to the park. According to the Department of Recreation and Park Operations, the plan is still in its infancy, and city officials are still gathering information. Russell Simon, Annenberg Radio News.
The Los Angeles Recreation and Parks Commission voted today to take over operations of the historic Greek Theater. The current manager's contract ends this October. Originally, the city wanted to seek an outside company to take over the venue, but officials decided an open venue model would be best in order to get a bigger cut of the landmark's revenue. It is estimated the city could net upwards of $3 million for every 50 concerts held at the theater.
Sports Minute
with Max Holm.
Former New England Patriots tight end Aaron Hernandez was convicted of murder today after the case was drawn out for months. He was sentenced to life without the possibility of parole. On to brighter news, the Clippers' victory last night over the Phoenix Suns clinched a top three seed in the Western Conference. Their regular season is done as they'll look on tonight to see if they'll face the Spurs, Rockets, or Grizzlies in the first round of the playoffs. Meanwhile, the Lake Show finishes their putrid season against the Sacramento Kings tonight in what Laker fans hope will be the last time their eyes bleed at Staples Center for a very long time. Now to the diamond. The Dodgers will look to sweep the Seattle Mariners today after late-game heroics took center stage yet again last night for the boys in blue. Howie Kendrick's two-run single in the bottom of the ninth inning off Fernando Rodney saw the Dodgers walk off for the second straight night. As for LA's other baseball team, the Angels sent Hector Santiago to the mound tonight to bounce back from an 8-2 dropping at the hands of the Texas Rangers. To the ice! The LA Kings may be out of the playoffs, so Southern California will be riding on the Anaheim Ducks. The Ducks were off tonight, but start their series against Winnipeg tomorrow. And finally, number 42 will be on the back of every player in Major League Baseball today, as the league annually honors the late Jackie Robinson, of course the legendary Dodger who broke baseball's color barrier. This has been the Sports Minute, Max Holm, Annenberg Radio News.
Pizza seems to get people fired up and passionate when it comes to the best kind. Depending on where folks are from and what pizza means to them, you will always get mixed reviews. Tina Gutierrez tells us what the big deal about pizza is to her.
What's in a pizza? There's a crust, some sauce, maybe cheese, and whichever toppings your heart could desire. Think about it. What do you like on your pizza? Pizza is a fun activity and a food I enjoy with good company. In fact, I make my own pizza from scratch all the time. First, you have to prep the dough and set the oven to preheat. Next, I start on the toppings. I saute the onions and peppers in a pan. Lastly, I slice sharp cheddar cheese and shred mozzarella. Once the dough is starting to cook, you take it out and pile on the toppings. Once there's a layer of tomato sauce, I start sprinkling the cheese and dotting the pizza with as many pepperonis as I can fit between the peppers and onions. Well, let's let that cook a while. In the meantime, let's hear what others have to say about pizza. I heard from some of the best experts around, some hungry college students and a pizza professional.
My name is Maddie Donahue, and I'm from a suburb of Chicago called Barrington. I love the deep dish from Chicago, and I just like plain cheese deep dish.
My name is Sam Dorn. I'm from Rye, which is a suburb of New York City. We like to say our pizza is the best because it is. It's thin crust pizza, meant to be eaten on the go. We buy pizza by the slice rather than as a whole pie, and you eat it folded up as you're walking with maybe a cup of coffee in one hand and some pizza in the other.
My name is Bo Clow. I'm from Mount Hamburg, California. You gotta have California thin crust pizza. I guess pepperoni's a must, mozzarella cheese, and classic tomato sauce. So yeah, I like a pretty plain pizza.
My name is David Carell, and I'm a senior manager here at CPK. I think pizza seems to be a fun thing to eat, and I think each venue is trying to put or place creative items on pizza, so that way it's more fun and enticing to eat.
And what is your favorite type of pizza and why?
Mine is the buffalo chicken pizza. I like the spice to it. I think it brings good flavor, so that's why I like that one.
And you think California pizza is the best, I'm assuming?
Yes, I do.
Well, now that the tally is in, looks like a dead split. We all like our pizzas made a different way. But more than that, it contains memories, tradition, pride, perhaps more than any other dish served in America.
I always think of my family with all my cousins. We all live next door, but every Friday they'd all come over, then we'd all order pizzas, and it's kind of like the fun fighting of like, well, what type are we getting? And like, it's gonna be half this, half that. So I definitely think it's the memory, and it's like a simple meal, but really fun.
I think it's part of the culture too, you know, when you're ordering in food, you know, it's just very easy to say, oh, let's get a pizza. And you can't just say, like, let's order a burger. It just doesn't really, like, flow as well.
All this pizza talk is making me hungry. Oh, my pizza's ready. Time to eat. Tina Gutierrez, Annenberg Radio News.
That's it for today. Our board operator is Lexi McAvinci. Christian Brown is the newscast producer. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Elizabeth Nonemaker.